Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives, happy need machines. We are in Washington, D.C., and we are broadcasting live from the XM Satellite Radio Studios. We are in the mothership here. I'll tell you, when you walk down the halls of this place, you feel like you're on the Enterprise Radio. It's unbelievable. We've got a powerful crowd here of at least 7 people. So, in other words, there's still plenty of room if you want to come down. We've got Congressman Benny Thompson coming up later in the show. We'll have Cindy Sheehan, who's going to be here in person, plus Congressman John Conyers. A little applause for Cindy Sheehan, who I heard has been roughed up a little on her way across the country. We got Mark Riley here. How are you, Mark Riley?
I'm doing all right, man. How you doing?
I'm great, man. It's very exciting to be in D.C. You know, there I was very surprised as I walked around Washington, D.C., and I walked and I saw the Capitol. I saw the White House. There's still part of me that wants to believe that this government can have some integrity at some point in the future.
Well, you know, you get inside the Beltway, some people feel that way, but don't worry, it'll pass as soon as you leave as soon as you leave D.C.
Oh, that's so jaded.
Prince George's County, it's all over, all right?
I don't know what it is. I was surprised that there was part of me that felt that, because you know, we were looking around. We didn't even get down to the mall, and I just saw the Capitol down the street, and there was part of me that really, I felt patriotic, I felt proud to be American, and then I felt incredibly disappointed by the occupiers of that building at this point in time.
Well, you should be disappointed with the occupiers of the building. I think the main occupier is on his way someplace else anyway. Isn't he out of town?
I think George Bush is going to go down to Texas, I believe, today. He's going to go to Texas. I don't know if he's going to try and do a State of the Union in the rain just to show people that he cares. But I'm not even sure that'll work at this point, Riley. I think he's just stopping off in Houston to make sure his cars are in the garage. And then he's going to go up to Colorado and watch the storm unfold from a bunker up there at the Northern Control.
Yeah, you know, this is, again, part of the Karl Rove redemption tour for George W. Bush. He has got this guy now. He's trying to come across as if he's in charge of things. He knows how badly he messed up Katrina. So now he's going to try and get out in front of Hurricane Rita. And hopefully it doesn't rain on his behind.
But I'll tell you something, man. I was watching some TV show last night. I think it was on MSNBC, and they were showing the guys that actually fly the planes that monitor the hurricane from the top of the hurricane, from the top of the storm. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see Air Force One right out there ahead of that plane, just with the, you know, maybe drag, you know, those when you're on the beach, you see those planes with the banners behind it. It's just going to be the Air Force One at the top of the hurricane with "Please Like Me Again" on a banner trailing behind it. If you don't know what's going on, what's happening now is I believe that the storm has been lowered to a Category 4. It's a sharper than expected turn to the right has set Rita on a course that could spare Houston and nearby Galveston. A direct hit. It is currently targeting Port Arthur, Texas, or Lake Charles, Louisiana. Forecasters warned of a storm surge of 15 to 20 feet, battering waves and rain of up to 15 inches along the Texas and western Louisiana coast. And as we know from talking about it yesterday, Riley, the Louisiana, New Orleans cannot take much of a surge at this point in time as to whether or not those levees will hold and that bowl will fill up again. It's still not clear, even if the storm does not have a direct hit on New Orleans.
Well, you know, they've already been getting rain down there. And isn't it interesting, Mark, that you're talking about a turn to the right?
Yeah. So apparently this is now a battle between the neocon death cult and God himself, or herself.
Right.
They've actually, Karl Rove has contacted the Almighty and said, is there any way we can at least get the storm to turn to the right?
Right, yeah, please.
That guy has a lot more power than I ever anticipated, and I find it frightening. I don't know about you. The storm is, one of the big problems is evacuation. I watched the footage on the TV, and I don't know why, but there are recent polls that actually believe that the Americans polled, 54% of them actually believe that the federal government can handle a disaster in terms of evacuating people. Did you see that traffic jam?
Traffic jam? It looked like it ran across the entire state of Texas, that traffic jam.
Unbelievable. Nearly 2 million people along the Texas and Louisiana coast were urged to get out of the way of Rita. But this is the weird thing, is that there is no plan in place, really, so they're just basically like, they just say, well, I figure if we give them 3 days, they can figure out a way to get out. So now nearly 2 million people are just like on the highways. They're leading out of Houston. They were clogged up for 100 miles north of the city. That gas stations were running out of gas. Other people got tired of waiting and said, you know what, the hell with it. I'm just going to go back home and ride this thing out in the basement. And
yeah, it's incredible.
And then the governor, you know, he basically says, look, you know, apparently it's not going to hit Houston directly, so maybe you should just go home. You know, maybe we should free up a little road here. But that is not because it's any safer. It's because they still aren't prepared. There is not a preparation plan in place. That was the interesting thing, Riley. Remember in the aftermath of Katrina when we heard that story about Cuba and how effectively they were able to evacuate and handle everything because the plan was in place, not because of hurricanes, but they thought we were going to attack them.
Yeah.
So they had a very specific plan in place for when the crap hit the fan of what to do. But here, I wouldn't even know where to go. We've discussed this before. If something happened in New York, I'd be sitting in my apartment. I would hope I'd have a half a gallon of water and a can of tuna, but yeah. I would not know where the hell to go.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you have in both Houston and New Orleans cities that have very unique problems and are very susceptible to flooding. Houston, and I saw this on TV last night. God knows what I was doing watching this. But apparently they pumped out a lot of groundwater in Houston, and it caused the ground to sink, which makes it much more prone to flooding, even in a rainstorm, never mind a hurricane. So, you know, they really caught a real break if it veers away from the city of Houston.
Yeah, well, you know, I find this fascinating. It's not unlike New Orleans when everyone freaked out and most of the police force disappeared. And the assumption was not because they were frightened or anything. It was because they had family members. They wanted to save their property. They needed to deal with their personal lives. So here was there was a shortage of security screeners at the airport. Many of these guys, they didn't go to work because they live in areas of mandatory evacuation.
Yeah.
But they didn't prepare to replace them. So airport officials had to fly screeners from other Texas cities in to take up the screening responsibilities, I guess, in Galveston.
Well, you know, that must have been an incredible scene in the airport. If you got 100-mile traffic jams on the roads, you can imagine what it must have been like at the airport trying to get out before the storm hit.
Here's another example of how these times are changing, man. Dig this, right? At Houston's Johnson Space Center, NASA evacuated its staff, powered down the computers at Mission Control, and turned the International Space Station over to who? The Russians.
Oh, my God.
Man, are we living in a different world or what?
You guys got it. We're going home, okay? Say hi to Putin for me.
I'll tell you, if I said that even 20 years ago, people would be like, what are you talking about? The future is scary. Well, the future is now, folks. Unbelievable. When I read that, I was pretty amazed. Here was the other thing that happened to me. This was funny. I was walking with Brendan P.W. McDonald and Dan Pashman, son of Lewis, and Linda Pashman, and I were looking for a place to eat, and we asked no less than 3 or 4 people how to get around the corner to a restaurant. Like, this restaurant was only blocks away here in Washington. Yeah. And we asked one guy, and he directed us somewhere we got lost. Then we asked a guy in the street, who literally he did one of these weird things with his hand where he's pointing, but it was a vague point. It was like, it's over there, and then he kind of moved his hand. as he was pointing, and we couldn't find this place, and then I don't remember. I think it was Brendan says, "Man, no one in this town knows what's going on." And I said, "Yeah," and that goes all the way up to the top.
Wow, absolutely,
you know. So I'm excited to be in Washington, though. We're going to give you some information if you're listening. We're going to give you some information about the rally, about a schedule in terms of, you know, what's going to unfold in the next few days. There are a lot of things planned. We've got the Green Expo that I'm going to be performing at GreenFest at the Washington, D.C. Convention Center. That's tomorrow at noon. For tickets to that, you can go to greenfestivals.com. And also, we're going to be talking to Cindy Sheehan a little later, so she'll be able to give you exactly, you know, what she's going to be up to. But there is a broad schedule with some specific events happening over the next 3 days. If you're in the Washington area, we'll give you that information. And we've got Mark the Shark coming up, and here's the big question: is Bush wasted? Is he hitting the bottle again?
I mean, here we go.
I'm not, you know, look, I'm not saying that the National Enquirer is a bad source of information, because apparently it's not so bad. They've broken a lot of big stories, and this one's hot off the presses from them. Apparently he might be wasted, which I find encouraging in some weird way. It's 15 past the hour. You're listening to Morning's Edition here on Air America Radio, live from the XM studios here in Washington, D.C.
You're listening to Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
Now, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Air America Radio.
It's about 20 past past the hour. Good morning. You're listening to Mark Maron here with Mark Riley. Hey. Fair America Radio's Morning Sedition program, broadcasting from the mothership here at XM Satellite Radio Studios in Washington, D.C. We have got a powerful audience of about 15 people that sound like 20, maybe. All right. Later in the show, we got, and this is not a sad thing. I want you to know these people were selected specifically to come early because they are hardcore Morning Sedition fans.
That's right. Hardcore.
I bet you some people are coming from New York. We were surprised that Rich Two Bagels wasn't here. We thought he'd certainly make it down to D.C. I think Lynn's going to come with a bag of produce any minute. We've got these regular people that come up in New York. A gentleman here right up front told me why they have traffic circles here in D.C. Did you know that, Riley? Did you know that they put them there as a defense to slow, if there was an invasion, to slow people down? Did you know that?
I had heard that many, many years ago.
Oh, so you didn't really know, did you? That's
no,
what you said.
I mean, it was not at the forefront of my consciousness.
All right, I know when something's in the Riley head for sure.
Yeah.
That was, you hedged on that one a little bit. So later in the show, we're going to be here with Benny Thompson, Congressman Benny Thompson. We're going to have John Conyers. We're going to have Cindy Sheehan's going to be with us a little later. Lawton Smalls is coming down from Planet Bush. Right now, and also I wanted to say that the march for tomorrow, the schedule for the day is 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. The march itself really starts at 12:30 p.m. The rally starts at 11:30. If you want information for any of that rally stuff, unitedforpeace.org is the place to go. We'll get more into that with Cindy Sheehan in terms of exact details of what she's up to. Right now, I'd like to say, sometimes when you read the headlines, it can be tough to figure out just exactly what the mainstream media is saying. So luckily, we have an iNews 5000 Wi-Fi headline translator. Let's crank it up and feed it some headlines, folks. Yes! B.W. McDonald on the live intro. Here we go. From the Associated Press, hurricanes decrease support for the Iraq war. Hurricanes decrease support for the Iraq war. Translation, shock and awe finally works on America. Let's read it through one more time. Hurricanes decrease support for the Iraq war. Translation, hot air from Atlantic wipes out hot air in Washington. From Fox News, North Korea says U.S. planning nuclear attack. Translation here says Bush prepares for rapture, steps up Armageddon. A little uncomfortable laugh. You know, it's weird. You can't make the Bush Armageddon jokes like you used to. They don't trust the guy at all. I mean, not that we trust him in the first place, but at least you'd like to believe he wouldn't actually do that. But now that he's drinking and his polls are down, who the hell knows what he could do? It's like, why don't they like me? I'll show them.
Right.
All right, here we go. From Reuters, strippers, you know what they are. Strippers help tease back New Orleans nightlife. Strippers help tease back New Orleans nightlife. Translation, New Orleans faces another big mop-up. Oh, come on, fellas. Yo, how are you? Good morning. How's it? Come on, we're entitled to a dirty joke in the morning.
Was that a dirty joke?
No, I guess if you got it, maybe. kidding, buddy. So, look, did I just do that? I had a moment where I took a shot at you. I felt guilty and I actually acknowledged the guilt by going, oh, I'm sorry. All right, here we go. I'm a sensitive man, Riley. So I need to qualify this story by saying the source of the story is the National Enquirer. This doesn't necessarily mean that it isn't true. They have broken their share of stories over the last 20 years or so. They did break the Rush Limbaugh's addiction to pills. It's nice to know that that guy's a drug addict. And I want people to realize that Rush Limbaugh is a drug addict. Okay, photo of Donna, a drug addict, and I know a lot of you know that, but I don't want you to forget that Rush is a drug addict. He's got a drug problem, which makes him no different than other people with drug problems. Not going to judge, I'm just going to say that's that. Photo of Donna Rice sitting on Gary Hart's lap, that was from the National
Enquirer, 87,
yeah. Schwarzenegger's History of Groping, which turned out to be true. That was, they broke that in 2000. And of course, Jenna Bush's wild parting like anybody could have broke that story.
Yeah,
anybody
really.
Who lives in Texas or anywhere. The pay-for-pardon deals arranged by Hugh Rodham, they also broke that story. And the weird thing is that the Inquirer changed its ways when the libel cases became apparently too costly and the management was fired. And the new editors insisted on a higher level of fact-checking and scrutiny. I'm doing this all to make sure that this story has at least a little credibility. Because apparently a family source has said that George W. Bush is back. He's back on the sauce. He's hitting the bottle. He's off the wagon. He's been on the wagon for 19 years. Like, I don't know why I'm so gleeful. He's been on the wagon for 19 years. According to the Inquirer, Laura Bush walked in on George doing a shot at the Crawford Ranch when he heard the news about Katrina. So that's why it took him so long to respond. He was wasted.
Yeah.
He was on a bender. He was just sitting there, you know, flicking pieces of lunch off his shirt because he'd gone too far.
Straight whiskey.
Oh,
Texas
man.
Texas-sized shot. You know he got his head bad off of that, right?
Well, this, you know, this might, yeah, exactly. This might explain why it took him so long. And I do want to say that there's no reason other than it is the National Enquirer to doubt the credibility of the National Enquirer. I want people to take this for what it is and understand that we have a president that was busted, you know, for drunk driving and maybe cocaine. I don't have any sources on that. There's no indication that that is true other than the fact that there is some indication that he did do some community service. And I'm figuring a Bush wouldn't just do that out of the goodness of his heart, but there is evidence that he did do community service and there's no evidence of a coke bust, but there's no evidence for him, you know, having a reason to do community service. But given that he's got a mother that could walk through the Astrodome and actually rationalize somehow that the people there were living better than they were at home, leads me to believe that it's not within this guy's genetic code to just say, I want to help poor people.
You know, I don't know. The National Enquirer doesn't just say that Laura busted him recently. According to this, it's a Washington source. Now, you never know who they're talking about here.
Could be someone right here.
Yeah, but they're saying that he's been sneaking drinks for weeks now. Laura might have just caught him, but apparently this has been going on for a while.
Yeah.
That's what they say. Now, I'm not saying it. Marin's not saying it. This is the National Enquirer. You can take it, you can leave it. But here it is. We're reading it.
You know, I know what it's like to battle the bottle, my friend. And I know what it's also like to say, shut up, I'm just having one. Can a guy have one? I'm not sick anymore. Okay? That's what I'm saying. And I'm saying that might have been heard in the Bush household. Folks, you're listening to Morning Sedition. It is 27 past the hour, broadcasting live from the XM Satellite Radio Studios here in Washington, D.C. Some more people are coming down. We've only got the special invitees here now.
Yeah.
But they are powerful, and they brought donuts. Stay with us. We've got the Dog of the Week. We got Mark the Shark. We got Cindy Sheehan coming up later in the show. We'll talk to you in a minute.
Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Good morning, it's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley, broadcasting live from the XM Satellite Radio Studios in Washington, D.C. We got a growing audience here of all ages, my friends. It's unbelievable. The audience is starting to grow. We've got people from all ages enjoying the show. It is an all-ages show usually because our dirtier stuff is cryptic enough for kids to go, I don't know, which is good, and it's important. We are here in Washington. Obviously, they have the big rally this weekend. Air America's very own Laura Flanders show will broadcast live from the march from 7 to 11 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is Saturday, September 24th. There are activities going on from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., 11:30 a.m. the rally starts. At 12:30 p.m. the march starts. Very exciting. They're expecting hundreds of thousands of people. I hope that actually happens. Here's what time it is now. It's time for Mark Riley's Dog of the Week, folks.
All right. You know, Mark, recent events have shown this president and his cronies to be a natural disaster all by themselves. This includes his own actions and those done in his name. What with an unresolved war in Afghanistan, an irresolvable conflict in Iraq, and a pair of massive hurricanes, you'd think the administration would have its hands full. Apparently Not. In the midst of all this, Bush and his people are fighting a war on pornography. Last month, the FBI began recruiting agents for a new anti-obscenity squad. The job posting for this elite bunch of smutbusters said the initiative is one of the top priorities of FBI Director Robert Mueller. This time, the government isn't even using that tired cliche about busting porn that exploits children. This time, it's adult porn thereafter. You know, the kind you pay 12 bucks a pop to watch in your hotel room. And I do mean you. That would be the same porn that major telecommunications and media companies make huge sums of money from each day in America. Wouldn't it be, Robert Mueller? Somehow the notion of FBI agents in black suits breaking down Rupert Murdoch's door doesn't seem likely. He's one of the two major owners of DirecTV, which makes stupid money from adult films. Robert Mueller, we have no idea why you would spend valuable time and resources fighting a war you know you can't win. Therefore, you join the ranks of another elite group. You are the Morning Sedition Dog of the Week.
I gotta tell you, Mark, I am proud to say that last night in my hotel room, I did not actually spend the $12.
Really?
On any of that stuff.
What did you spend $2 to watch Lassie?
Yeah, it's weird. You can watch TV for nothing in the hotel room. What hotel are you staying at?
Wait a minute now. I'm talking about
$2. No, I'm happy. Not out of fear. I was just tired.
Oh, okay.
All right. So now here to help us. This is always fun. This is fun for the kids, isn't it? Yes.
Oh,
now here to help us sort out some of the latest developments and issues surrounding stem cell research, folks. We have a very controversial guest, Sammy the Stem Cell. Welcome, Sammy. So how are you, Sammy? What have you been up to, my friend?
Well, you know, I've been reading a novel. Uh-huh. Been taking a couple of courses at the JC.
Wow, that sounds great. That sounds great.
Yeah, oh, yeah, and I stole somebody's baby and sold it for crack.
Oh, well, that's nice. Wait a minute. You did what?
Oh, nothing, you Boone's Farm pander monkey.
Wait a minute. Let's just get on with this,
what?
Sammy. What do you make of this new research that found that stem cells can repair spinal cord injuries?
Oh, Mark, you know, seriously, it makes me so happy to know that the benefits of stem cell research seem almost endless. I'm almost too grateful and joyful for words.
Wow, Sammy. I mean, in the past, you've expressed nothing but contempt and disinterest for the incredible potential that stem cell research has for humanity. Now you almost sound, I don't know, caring and empathetic towards those afflicted with disease. This is an amazing transformation.
Really? Must be the crack talking. Man, this crap is great. I can do anything. I heartily recommend all the kids go out and get this stuff. Kids, go out and get crack.
No, stop it. Would you stop it? We've got kids here, for God's sakes. That's horrible. How can you say that? We are not telling kids to get crack, all right? Not on this show. Never.
Oh, I get it. Want it all for yourself, is that right? Oh, you're a sly one, Mark. Marketing, Mark, 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 Mark.
Yeah, you're just...
Marketing, Mark, Mark.
He's gone.
You are despicable, man.
You're welcome.
No, all right. So in light of this incredible new development in stem cell research, you don't have anything else to say?
Yeah. Got a dollar?
No, I don't have a dollar, and if I did, I wouldn't give it to you.
Okay. You got a baby?
No, my God. No, I don't have a baby. Get out of here.
Wait,
I hate you.
You don't scare me, man. Tom DeLay says I've sacred life. And I'm also filled with a strange sense of euphoria. God, give me a dollar. I have to go hang out with some low-class prostitute.
All right, man. All right. Okay, buddy. I'm going to do it. Here's a dollar. Now, if I give it to you, will you get out of my life?
Oh, man. Thanks, Mark. Oh, man, I'm so sorry, man. I love you.
All right.
I don't know what's happening to me. You know, you're so kind.
Yeah.
I'm going to break into your house, you Kale Munchie recovery hippie.
No, no.
And you can't stop me. I'm Superman. Give me your baby.
I'm the baby.
I can't buy no nickel rock with a dollar.
Get out of here, you hole. You make me sick.
Yeah, well, I hold a mirror up to society, nuts. And don't you forget it, I'm like Manson.
Hey, you.
See ya, pops.
All right. Wow. Sammy the Stem Cell. Always.
Isn't he our most contentious guest?
Always encouraging.
Yeah.
You know, it's always nice to check in with Sammy the Stem Cell. Oh, my God.
Wow.
So, folks, also, tomorrow I'm going to be performing. You know, this is making me nuts. I got to be honest
Why?
With you. Well, because it's making me nuts. I'm going to be at the Green Fest, all right? The Green Fest, it's this big, it's like an idealism expo that they're having over at the D.C. Convention Center. And I said that I would perform. I would do some stand-up at the Green Fest, right?
Because you're an idealist.
Well, yeah. I'd like to say satirist, which is similar, but now I got to go and I've been told that I'm following Dennis Kucinich.
Hey,
which as far as opening acts go is, well, it's going to be long winded. That I can tell you, but he's a good guy, but he's like a real politician. And then after that, there's an hour of it's slotted for me. And here I'm thinking like I'll
an
go
hour?
Down. Yeah, I'm going to do some. I could do an hour's worth of comedy, but I don't know if I can do it in the middle of a bunch of, you know, earnest kind of progressive. I'm not trying to be too judgmental. Look, you know,
yeah.
I think it's very good to do everything you can to help whatever it is that you're helping, if it's a good thing to help. But I do think that there is some fragmentation in the, you know, in the liberal umbrella, my friend, in the liberal tent. I mean, I can't tell you, no matter what we cover on this show, no matter what we do on this show, we will get an email of someone going, what about Darfur? You know, or no matter what we talk about on the show, it's like, well, you didn't really do the, you know, the Freemasons were involved. There's always some fringe element of, I don't want to say conspiracy theories. I like to call them independent speculative investigators. But, you know, there's always somebody that's not going to be happy. And I just feel like I'm going to be in a room full of people with the same idealism, with conflicting interests, expecting me to be earnest, and it's not going to happen.
Well, right. You're going to get halfway through your talk, and somebody's going to talk about the issues. Is that what you're afraid of?
Yeah, I'm afraid that I'll get halfway through my talk, and I'll start crying because I'm a fraud. Is that... Doesn't everyone have that fear when they go to work? Am I wrong? Is that... No, I think it's going to be good, is what I'm saying. I think it's going to be a great show.
Now, what time is this?
Me and Dennis Kucinich. Maybe he'll come back up. We can sing a little. Do you think that's possible? You think he'll do that? I don't think so. What time
is it?
Yeah. I'm going to be on at the main stage here at 12 o'clock.
12 o'clock. Now, this is indoors or outdoors?
I'm banking on indoors. It's a convention center. I'm hoping it's indoors. And I'm hoping there's a lot of samples. And I'm hoping there's a lot of freaky people with weird things that they're selling, you know, because it is an expo of sorts, the Green Fest. Now, let me give you the information again for those people in the Washington, D.C. area for the massive 3-day anti-war protest. That is this weekend. If you're not coming down, you should come down. If you can come down, hey, do this. If you're just driving to work, take a turn, get on the highway, come to D.C. How about that? Come on, do it. Saturday, September 24th, that is tomorrow, it's a full day of activities, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. All Day Peace and Justice Festival begins. Washington Monument Grounds, a special Peace and Justice Festival designed to connect grassroots activists with a wide array of organizations and campaigns. Those organizations would be the FBI. Those people are going to be the first ones there. You can always tell the FBI agent with the outdated hippie wig, hey, man, what are you guys doing? at the festival, you'll find there's going to be leaflets, how-to guides, activist toolkits, and other resources. You can learn more about the disastrous Iraq War and how you can plug into the many efforts underway to bring the troops home, which is the momentum of this. I want to talk to Cindy Sheehan about Bush's statement yesterday, trying to sort of appropriate the Gold Star Mothers for Peace and the Gold Star Families for Peace, because he basically said he's naming Sunday Gold Star Mothers for Peace Day, or actually just Gold Star Mother's Day. And this is sort of an attempt for him to pander, appropriate, yet not honor the actual agenda of the peace movement or of bringing the troops home.
Well, you know, George W. Bush and Karl Rove, because never forget that Rove is not far behind in all this, if he's not in front. These people understand very clearly that they would not be doing this were it not for what's going on here over this coming weekend.
Mm-hmm.
They would not have a gold star anything for anyone unless they had to politically. He would not go to Texas to try and get in front of Rita unless he had to politically. This is about politics. It is not about governance. It is certainly not about empathy with families or mothers or fathers who have lost people in Iraq. Believe me, if that were the case, he wouldn't have gotten us into this in the first place.
That's absolutely true. In a couple minutes, we're going to, I think I've got some words for my temporary sponsee, George W. Bush.
Uh-oh.
I think we're going to do a little recovery corner action. I got to reach out, you know, as part of my own recovery. We've also got Kevin Danaher, Global Exchange, a co-producer of the Green Fest event that I'm going to be doing tomorrow. Maybe he'll ease my mind a little bit because I know it's going to be a great event and they don't need the crying neurotic Jew on the center stage. So I'm going to try and maybe we'll figure out how I can approach this with the right state of mind.
You'll be fine.
Of course I will. I'm just whining because it's good radio. 45 past the hour, you're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
On the air and online. MorningSedition.com. Air America Radio.
Fifty past the hour. Good morning. It's Mark Maron with Mark Riley.
Hey.
We're broadcasting live from the XM Satellite Radio Studios in Washington, D.C. This is the mothership of the XM Radio Satellite Network. I'm here with Mark Riley.
Hey, man, the crowd is 1,200.
Look at that. There's 1,000 people here. The entire rally from the... look, folks, remember, XM is the exclusive satellite radio provider of Air America. You can hear Air America 24-7 in crystal clear stereo sound on XM channel 167.
Yeah.
To subscribe, go to xmradio.com. It's actually so clear I can hear the saliva in my mouth in these headphones. It's that clear right now. It's unbelievable. And at this place, they've been so nice here.
They've been wonderful.
And look at this setup. There's more mics than I ever needed in my whole life. And I'm not even a prima donna. I got 4 mics I can use here.
Hey, Mark.
Yes, sir.
We have a person from the crowd here who wanted to talk to you. I know it's odd because, this was invited guests only. But, sir, what's your name?
Hi, this is Ted from Nebraska. Once again, the Democrats are trying to politicize these hurricanes instead of offering real leadership.
Oh, no, I hate when... help me, Riley. Oh, my God. Oh, no. It's happening. My thoughts are starting to change. I'm becoming him. Oh, no.
Help, Pennsylvania.
Live from Radio Halliburton, it's Right and Early, the conservatives' way to wake up with Mark the Shark Maron.
Good morning, neocons. Good morning, neocons. Hey, Mark the Shark is live here in Washington, D.C. This is our town, liberals. You just live in it. Never forget that. Hey, Mark the Shark was walking around the mall looking for the Reagan Memorial. Where's that, huh? We need to make some room. Let's tear down that stupid FDR Memorial, socialist. Somebody wheel that gimp out of here. Don't worry, Franklin. We'll give you some kind of memorial. Maybe we'll name a dyke after your wife. Yeah, listen, while I'm in town, I got a few personal calls to make. Hello? Yeah, is John Kerry there?
Hello, can I help you? I'm very boring. Did I mention that I'm a loser?
Look, Mr. Kerry, I have a package for you.
I love presents. I wonder what it is.
I didn't order that. Oh, that's the wrong voice. Let me try it.
I didn't order that.
I gotcha. So I guess there's some kind of stupid anti-war rally in town tomorrow. I thought I smelled a traitor.
Oh, boo-hoo! We can't stay in Iraq because of the big bad hurricanes. It's too expensive. Let's crush the hopes and dreams of freedom-loving people everywhere. Where can I get an abortion around here?
Hey, we're live in Washington. Somebody got a question for me?
Mark the Shark, what do you think is going to happen with Hurricane Rita?
Well, I got to say this. I got to say, Miss Rita, you're headed for Texas. That's no pansy-ass French state like Louisiana. Mark my words, that hurricane's going to bounce right off of Texas. You picked the wrong state, Rita. Category 5, meet Category 6. And those are so-called, let me tell you something, those so-called refugees, they're just refugees from hard work, if you ask me. They just moved to Texas to get twice the disaster aid, that's what I say. Well, too bad, Porky. Uncle Sugar's pockets are bare. What's the matter? Spend your $2,000 already? You sent it all to moveon.org, did you?
Well, that's what you're going to have to do now, loser. Move on. Find a blue state, a state, and snuggle up to their public tate. Get ready, Massachusetts. You got company, and they're hungry.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
All right, stick around, Neocon. We'll be right back with Toby Keith.
Don't touch that dial, Patriot. We'll be back with Right and Early.
Oh, what just happened, man? I hate when I it must have been those donuts. Did I black out or?
You know, it's, I thought it was only in New York this happened to you, but now you're down here in Washington D.C. in the belly of the beast, and you still like go off.
I know. It's scary when that happens because it reminds me when I drank. You know what I mean? And by the way, we're gonna bring President Bush to Recovery Corner in just a few minutes,
yes.
And maybe give him help. But right now, tomorrow morning, I'll be one of the speakers at the Green Festival here in Washington D.C. If you want tickets, you can go to greenfestival.com. Joining us now is the co-founder of Global Exchange and the co-producer of Green Festival. Please welcome Kevin Danaher.
Yeah.
Hey, great to be on, man. Pleasure.
Appreciate it. It's nice to see you, man. So you made me feel better right away because I walked right up to you and said I'm freaking out a little bit about my speech, and you said you talk for a living. What's wrong with you?
Well, we'll have bouncers in the audience when you speak and throw out anybody who gives you hard questions or anything like that.
Wait, there's going to be questions?
I thought you were going to say there's going to be bouncers. No, there's not going to be any questions.
I thought a little heckling that might make things good.
Your questions might be like, who the hell is this guy anyway? What's this Air America?
That's
thing?
Fine. That's yeah. fine. As long as they don't go, what about the fish? We got to save the fish.
What about that drinking that you were referring to on the radio?
Exactly. What, are you going to start drinking again? What about Darfur? Shut up, clown boy. There are big problems in the world.
No, you'll get a very warm welcome, I can guarantee. We've got speakers like Amy Goodman, Greg Palast, Lester Brown. We've got a really good lineup of about 125 speakers. We've got 350 green economy exhibits. We got live music all day Saturday and Sunday. We got organic vegetarian food, beer, wine. It's a huge party. But it's a party with a purpose.
You know what's heartwarming to me is that you can be an organic alcoholic. And I think that
that's right.
A lot of people were saying, like, how can I do this in a healthy way?
You'll die just a little bit slower that way.
There you go.
It's like the whole rationale behind American Spirit cigarettes. When you were smoking, you're like, oh, good, healthy cigarettes. Yeah. But beer's different.
Or
beer's
unbleached toilet paper.
Oh, wow.
Is that you can have a booth for unbleached toilet paper?
Well, you don't want chlorine against your body, right?
I got such worse things against my body. You know, that's not true. Maybe in the old days. You know what I mean? I just thought I'd say it. So these people are going to be, are they going to have products there? Because I want to bring a big bag of free stuff home.
Well, the good news about the green economy is that it already exists. No matter what sector of the economy you look at, there's now a green alternative, and it's an increasingly price-competitive alternative. Solar energy and wind energy are now price-competitive with natural gas and petroleum. And we're seeing the gas prices go up. Solar energy.
The time has come.
Yeah, there are farmers now in the Midwest that are making more money off wind energy than off of their crops.
All right, well, we're going to finish this conversation. I want to know where the idea from Green Fest came from. I want to know about the practicalities of some of these energy sources that you're talking about. We're talking to Kevin Danaher, co-founder of Global Exchange, and he's the Green Festival co-producer. Stay with us. You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio, live from Washington, D.C. at the XM Studios. Six past the hour, people. Good morning. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
We're broadcasting live from the XM Satellite Radio Studios in Washington, D.C. A few minutes from now, we've got Congressman Benny Thompson's going to be here. We've got Congressman John Conyers. We've got Lawton Smalls. We've got Cindy Sheehan. But with us right now is Kevin Danaher, co-founder of Global Exchange. He's also the co-producer of the Green Festival, which I will be performing at tomorrow. If you want information on that, it's greenfestivals.com. If you're just tuning in, you can get tickets, as I said, at greenfestivals.com. And the Green Festival is going to be what I'm calling an idealism expo.
And one of the things people will see at the demonstration is we made up Cheney Bucks. It's a $5 bill with Cheney's ugly face on it saying, I hope people don't go to that damn Green Festival. And that is actually worth $5. It's a $5 discount at the $15 admission at the door.
Well, it's interesting what you were saying to me before is that the Green Festival is really about, you know, promoting green ideals and making more economically feasible and safer situations on all levels of life. And we had a little conversation on the break about how New Orleans, this would be a great opportunity if the sort of like malignant, carnivorous capitalists of the petroleum industry weren't so ready to jump at this business opportunity to make a green utopia.
Yeah, we set up a website called rebuildgreen.org. And if you go to that website, it's Malik Rahim and other people based in New Orleans who are community activists who are saying, look, let's rebuild it green and let's rebuild it with community involvement instead of being this top-down Halliburton Bush agenda. Mm-hmm. Here's an opportunity to rebuild the U.S. city with solar energy and wind energy and do the construction right, because now green building, the green building technology, which is on exhibit at the Green Festival this weekend, it's out there. It's now going to be the dominant way to build buildings. Build them energy efficient, you save money.
How do you combat the perception, and I think this is a perception of people who go into supermarkets and look for organic products, whether it's produce or whatever, but how do you break the cycle of people feeling that organic equals more expensive?
Well, this is one of the problems on the left. We always tend to see things as glass half empty. You know, we're so into this complaining mode.
It is half empty, isn't it?
It's both.
All right, I'm just trying to check.
It's both. So what you got to look at is the reason organic costs more is because more valuable. It's better for you. It's better for the planet. So what we're trying to say with people is, look, you can now align your own personal health with the health of the planet and the health of the community.
But, I mean, when poor people go into a store and they're confronted with buying peanut butter that costs 99 cents or buying organic peanut butter,
they're going to take the cheap stuff.
They're going to take the cheap stuff.
And that's because the federal government subsidizes the chemical production. If you look at the way our subsidies work in agriculture, it's about quantity, not quality. If we wanted to do it in terms of conservation, they could have done it on this recent energy bill. They could have put substantial subsidies into solar and wind. Instead, they put it into petrochemicals and gas and oil.
So this historically, the power structure is the way it is, and there is no way to really make green living affordable until the paradigm shifts.
Well, actually, what's happening, if you look at the numbers, if you look at like investments in solar energy and wind energy, there are now index funds where you can invest just in renewable energy. A lot of those have taken off, have jumped like 100% over the past year.
So renewable energy can make renewable money.
Capital is moving in the direction of the green economy, and as capital shifts, so goes the structure of the economy.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what there is to offer because, you know, on some level, I know a lot of this stuff has integrity, and some of it maybe not as much integrity, but still equally as exciting to buy.
We guarantee you a good time. Unfortunately, you do have to pay for some things in life, but
right.
We look forward to having you at the Green Festival.
I'm looking forward to failing on the stage there. I'm kidding. It's going to be great.
We'll plant some hecklers.
Oh, hecklers, that's good. Greenfestivals.com is the website if you want to find out what's going on or get tickets. Kevin Danaher, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Kevin.
Man. I tell you, I hope I can follow Dennis Kucinich. See you later, Kevin. That's going to be rough. Hey, you know, it's time to go someplace we haven't been in a long time here on Morning's Edition. It's time for a trip to Recovery Corner. Hello, everyone. My name is Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
Yeah, and in Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. As always, I'm offering counsel to my temporary sponsee, George W., George, I just read in the National Enquirer, so it must be true, that when you were at the ranch and you first heard about Hurricane Katrina, Laura caught you drowning in booze. You were downing shot after shot, and she yelled, "Stop, George, stop." Wow, man. Well, no one can say you haven't been under a lot of stress lately. Your response to the disaster was pathetic. A whole nation is angry. Your poll numbers have never been lower, and no one wants to give you a free pass this time. The five-week vacation didn't help, and the pictures of you asking Condi for a bathroom break really didn't help. Alcohol is your own personal hurricane, George W., and it's about to hit Category 5. But the answer to Hurricane Katrina is not Hurricane Jack Daniels, W. When you swam that first shot, the levees in your brain gave way. Pretty soon, you'll be waist-deep in you. And you won't be able to blame the New Orleans mayor for turning your brain into Bourbon Street. Do you understand? So let me repeat what Laura said. Stop, George. This time around, don't wait 5 days to do something. Remember, keep the plug in the jug. There's no chemical solution to a spiritual problem. Bend your knees before you bend your elbow. If we don't grow, we got to go. If you got one foot in yesterday, the other foot in tomorrow, you're peeing on today. Think, think, think. God doesn't wake up and think he's you. Please get to a meeting, George, will you? So I do want to plug our hosts. XM is the exclusive satellite radio provider of Air America. You can hear Air America 24/7 in crystal clear stereo sound on XM channel 167. To subscribe, go to xmradio.com. We are here in the mothership enterprise of XM. It's an amazing thing when you see how a massive radio is done. They got a control center that looks like Houston, man.
Well, I'm telling you, and I have
not
to
like
say,
Houston right now, which is empty.
Yeah, which is empty. Yeah,
being run by Russians, but I
not even any air screeners. But no, I mean, I was a skeptic about satellite radio. Let me be real honest. I wasn't hearing it. But then when I leased this car and they gave me 3 free months of XM, how could I turn that down? My wife fell in love with a couple of the channels on there. Unfortunately, one of them wasn't Air America, I don't think. But anyway, we ended up, you know, actually subscribing to it.
I hear she barely listens to you at home.
Well, yeah, she doesn't. She'll be here in a minute. Oh, by the way, just on a personal, let me thank Jan and her husband, Bob, for this lovely present they gave
you. A box of chocolate
thank
for your birthday.
Thank you very much. I very much appreciate it.
So you're born again XM. Is that what you're saying?
I'm a born again XM, and I'm a zealot. All right, buy it. If you don't have it now, buy it.
I'm gonna get the new thing right after the show. They have what they call the mechanic room, and they actually plant a chip in your head and get it right into your head.
Oh, that ooh.
Some people are laughing. They're like, really? You can get that already? I didn't realize that. Well, when we come back, folks, wouldn't that be scary? You know it's going to happen at some point.
It is going to happen. That's the scary part.
And just like when I bought the iPod, at some point those walls are going to break down. And you'd be like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not getting the chip. Yeah. And eventually all your friends are going to be just sitting there like, nah, nah, nah. And they're going to have the chip. And you're like, you know what? The hell with it. I'm going to get it. And then like a couple weeks later, you're like, this is the best thing I ever had in my head.
Yeah.
We're doomed. We're doomed. In a few minutes, we're going to have Congressman Benny Thompson out here. He's a ranking member of the Homeland Security Committee and member of the Congressional Black Caucus to discuss Homeland Security issues in the wake of Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. This is Mark Maron with Mark Riley. You're listening to Morning Sedition, broadcasting live from the XM Satellite Radio Studios in Washington, D.C.
Morning Sedition, delivering you from evil in 3 hours or less. Air America Radio.
Team past the hour. Good morning. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley. We're broadcasting live from XM Satellite Radio Studios in Washington, D.C. We're going to have Cindy Sheehan is going to be here in a little while. Congressman John Conyers, Lawton Smalls from Planet Bush. It's been a great morning. Right now, joining us here in the XM studios, he's a Democratic member of the House Homeland Security Committee and a member of the Congressional Black Caucus. He represents Mississippi's 2nd Congressional District. Good morning, Congressman Benny Thompson.
Yeah.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. I'll tell you, you know, we're watching this footage from Houston. We're getting news reports in. The evacuation process, it seems like is chaotic and mismanaged and mishandled. I mean, you're on the House Homeland Security Committee. I mean, after seeing the government's response to Katrina and what's going on today, do you really think we're ready for another terrorist attack, Congressman?
No question. We're not. The terrorist attack is something we don't know about.
Mm.
Hurricanes is something we know.
Right.
And if we can't get prepared for something 3-4 days out,
mm-hmm.
Can you imagine if the terrorists show up?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't even know where to go. I was just talking about that because I watch, and I have to assume that people around the planet, even the people that hate us, are watching how chaotic this is and how out of control they are and how much of the promises and lies that our president told us about being the security president just were based on not true.
Well, it's symptomatic of this administration.
I'll say, yeah.
No question about it. They spent a lot of money. They came into office talking about less government. Being fiscally sound.
Mm-hmm.
And what you see is just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So it's saying one thing and doing another.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of what we call Robin Hood in reverse. And so clearly it's important that your audience understand that even in this response, they're trying to show a better face, but it's still not working because you can't just gloss over the fact that people are not prepared. You can't have a horse association director run FEMA and clearly say that he's done a good job. Now, you do understand he's still being paid now. So
Michael Brown
is still being paid. So he might be gone off the scene, but he's still on the payroll.
That's ridiculous.
Still getting a check. Congressman, we've been hearing a lot lately about something called Operation Offset, where Republican members of Congress are talking about making cuts in other programs, in some cases entitlement programs, to pay for the cleanup after Katrina, and in theory to pay the cleanup after Rita if it turns out to be that bad. Are you afraid that your constituents are going to get hurt directly by Operation Offset?
There's no question about it. Health benefits absolutely will get slashed. Educational benefits will get slashed. Affordable housing benefits will get slashed. Everything that the president said last Thursday that he was going to put into place to bring my district and other impacted district back absolutely would go down the drain.
That's what, so the people that this affected the most are going to be now affected by a storm of cutting by the administration?
Absolutely.
And, you know,
this administration now is talking about programs in this area that they've cut for the last 5 years. So any affordable housing program, any job training program that he even proposed to, by himself, he's already cut out in the regular budget.
Well, Congressman Thompson, I mean, if this is the case, which I'm sure it is, it's just despicable from where I'm standing. It's like, what do they expect these people to do? Devolve and move back into the ocean? What do they expect people with nothing to do? Die? What?
But, you know, you have to understand the philosophy of this administration is, we're trying to do away with government. We want the private sector to run this country. So that's why you see the Halliburtons, the KBR, the other major corporations getting the multi-million-dollar contracts.
And faith-based initiative as well.
Well, we just had a Head Start vote yesterday where they decided that you can discriminate on the basis of religion with Head Start funds. Mm. So if you are a Lutheran and a Baptist apply for employment, you can turn them down because they're not Lutherans.
Okay. Congressman Thompson, you are sit on the House Homeland Security Committee. We just learned this week that the president's Homeland Security Advisor, Fran Townsend, is going to be actually supervising the investigation, the presidential investigation, into what happened in terms of Hurricane Katrina. Are you confident that whoever is supposed to be advising the president on Homeland Security will be able to do the job that she's done? Is she in the wrong job by asking her to do this?
You can't give the fox the key to the hen house and tell him to watch your chickens. You know, the public is demanding an independent review. Anything less than that is clearly a whitewash. So what the Republicans have done, if you realize, a week ago, they passed a resolution saying we're going to create this bipartisan commission to be picked by the speaker. The speaker will pick the Democrats, and only the Republicans on the commission will have subpoena power.
So they're just there as props.
Well, you know, for some of us, they made second-class citizens out of us again if we participated on it. So we're used to it, this administration. Will say anything, do anything, and then convince you that they are the moral authority in this country. And we reject that.
Well, now, That brings to another question. In terms of the aftermath of Katrina, certainly, and what role do you think race played in the response that the government halfway made there?
Well, if you believe this administration, they said what you saw with your eyes wasn't really what happened. And so that totally irresponsible response was only based on the people who lived in that community.
Right.
Never should people have to sit on rooftops for 3 days waiting on help.
It's like that Richard Pryor line. You're going to believe me or you're lying eyes? Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. So clearly, we were not prepared. We didn't care. The president, 4 days later, flew to Mobile and told Michael Brown, good job, Brownie.
Unbelievable.
Now, absolutely an insult. So clearly, it was not the best response. actually more people died because of a poor response than from Hurricane Katrina.
Right, absolutely.
And so, you know, I mean, we're in serious trouble.
Yep.
And now we have all these major companies coming in. First of all, we got rid of Davis Bacon. So now we're bringing people in to work in the back of pickup trucks.
Right, so that's, you know, happening. That's immigrant happening right workers now. Are working for a nickel to clean up with no gear, right?
No benefit.
Right.
No, nothing.
Right.
And so clearly, but the contract prices don't change. Mm-hmm. In other words, if I'm a heavy equipment operator and I'm supposed to make $20 an hour, you hire me for minimum wage and I put the difference in my pocket. And so that's what's happening to us in this hurricane cleanup effort. I mean, we're in trouble. And this administration has waived every major constraint in order to police it. You don't have to do minority participation, women, veteran-owned businesses.
Nothing. They can just exploit whoever they want and make poor people hurt more.
In the name of hurricane relief.
Unbelievable. Benny Thompson, Congressman Benny Thompson from Mississippi, thank you for joining us.
Congressman. Real pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. I say we got a case for homicidal negligence. Let's impeach this guy, Bush, right? All right, so we'll be back. We're going to talk to Peter Bergen, the only one of the few American journalists that actually met Osama bin Laden. We'll talk about what's going on in the world of terrorism. We are broadcasting live from the XM Satellite Radio Studios in Washington, D.C. We got Cindy Sheehan coming up. We got Lawton Smalls coming up. And very quickly, we have Peter Bergen coming up. Stay with us. It's Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Before past the hour. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey.
Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. We're broadcasting live from XM Satellite Radio Studios in Washington, D.C. We've got Congressman John Conyers coming up. Cindy Sheehan is going to be here. We've got a lot of things going on. Remember, folks, XM is the exclusive satellite radio provider of Air America. You can hear Air America 24/7 in crystal clear stereo sound on XM channel 167. To subscribe is the word I'm looking for. Go to xmradio.com. And right here in this very room, Riley, I was given a list of past performers, and they include my friend Willie Nelson.
Whoa.
B.B. King right here in this very room. Def Leppard, huh?
Whoa.
Huh? Def Leppard, man.
Who else?
Pour some sugar on it, baby. Blues Traveler. The Indigo Girls and Herbie Hancock was here.
Well, Herbie's great, man.
I like Herbie Hancock.
Okay.
Okay. You know what? Maybe I was wrong to trivialize Herbie Hancock.
That's right.
I love Herbie Hancock. I know nothing of his work. But, I like the old school jazz stuff. I'm not as up on it, but I'm going to take your word for it. I know Herbie Hancock's been around a long time. I should know his work, and I don't. I feel ashamed. I'm going to download stuff into my iPod right after this show.
I'll burn you something.
Do you have something?
Of course I have something.
All right.
Are you kidding me? Herbie Hancock?
We're making our guest uncomfortable. Should we bring him on?
Yeah, we should.
Our next guest is no stranger to Morning Sedition. Today we finally get to meet him in person. What a thrill that is, actually. He's one of my, he changed my mind about everything in reading his first book, I'll tell you. His CNN's terrorism analyst, and he's author of Holy War, Inc. That's the book, Inside the Secret World of Osama Bin Laden. He's one of the few Western journalists who has ever interviewed Osama Bin Laden. His new book, The Osama Bin Laden I Know, will be out in the early, in January of 2006. Please welcome Peter Bergen to the show. So it's very interesting to me, the titles of the two books. I almost feel like saying, well, have you talked to Osama lately?
Not lately. No, he's sort of AWOL. But I have, in the most recent book I'm doing, I've interviewed a lot of people who know Osama. Mm-hmm. Some people just met him once, some people knew him for you know, 10 years. Some people, you know, were threatened. He killed them when they bumped into him in Afghanistan. Other people were his best friends growing up. And, you know, we still don't know a lot about Osama bin Laden, given the fact that he, you know, was instrumental in the 9/11 attacks and in the formation of Al-Qaeda.
But does anything surprise you, you know, when you talk to these people that knew him? Do you ever get those guys like who are like, Osama, he was such a geek? I mean, are that kind of stuff? I mean, are there surprising elements about his past?
People sort of say the same things. He was kind of a geek. I mean, he was a religious sort of nutcase, basically. Who,
all the way back. He was
starting age 12. I mean, you know, he was somebody who was holier than thou, forcing his brothers and sisters to get up early for morning prayers. I mean, somebody who was really very religious. Everybody says how humble he was, how shy, how retiring, which is certainly the sort of a paradox, because at a certain point, he obviously isn't humble, shy, and retiring now.
To psychopathologize, you know, he was probably, you know, hypersensitive and shy and all that, and he used religion to become sort of a bully.
It's hard to tell. I mean, it's hard to get inside people's heads.
Peter, it would seem to me that for someone who is so hyper-religious, he certainly deals in the secular in terms of being able to gather up the money to do the things that Al-Qaeda does. How did you get a sense of how he reconciles that?
I mean, all these guys do. You know, I've had people, sort of jihadists, say, look, we love the fax machines and the internet, and we just reject your culture. So, you know, I mean, that's sort of the Osama. I mean, for him, it's a very neutral thing. This technology helps his holy war, and that's it.
So now, in light of what we've seen in terms of hurricane response here, and in the game that this administration has been talking about securing the country, which turning out to just meant, you know, pilfering the treasury of this country and the taxpayers' pockets to fill the pockets of their friends without really doing anything. Do you think, and I'm not being partisan here, do you think that,
leading question, I think.
Yeah, there you go.
do you think that, Osama and people, who are respecting Osama's ideology are looking at what's going on here in response to these hurricanes saying, wow, they've got nothing going. We can easily penetrate this situation.
Well, you know, I was in Saudi Arabia when the whole thing was sort of playing out, and clearly, people in Saudi Arabia were kind of puzzled. I mean, most of the educated elite have studied in the United States, and they just thought it was sort of embarrassing. So, I mean, obviously, I think the facts speak for themselves. We're clearly not prepared. I mean, I was kind of surprised when President Bush said that, when he spoke in New Orleans, that we're going to get every city to have a sort of run through a mandatory evacuation plan. Well, I thought that was what we've been supposed to be doing the last 4 years. So,
right.
You know, I mean, I think the facts speak for themselves.
Peter Bergen, it would strike me that as someone who's talked to Osama bin Laden, who's done the kind of deep background on this man that you have, somebody in the Bush administration that was serious about trying to capture him would have talked to you, have they?
You know, I mean, I have spoken to all sorts of different groups, but nobody in the Bush administration itself, I mean, they don't, for whatever reason, they're not interested.
They don't want to know his psyche? They don't want to know what kind of guy he is?
Well, you know, people in the government, I mean, I talk to all sorts of audiences, so, you know, I've spoken to people that are in the government who want to know more.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Not that I'm a conspiracy theorist, or as I like to say, an independent speculative investigator. What I want to know, I mean, sometimes I get the feeling that, you know, Karl Rove has got Osama on his cell phone and just says, you okay, buddy? Did you get the check? This is great. Just stay hidden. Because I seem to think in my head that if they catch them, that will maybe relieve the American public a little bit of some of this fear around terrorism and make them a little less hard to control.
You know, it's very hard to find one person. Remember Eric Rudolph, who bombed the Atlanta Centennial Park? I mean, he was in North Carolina for 5 years. Whitey Bulger from Boston, he's disappeared. He killed 20 people, allegedly. So people, you know, people stay on the FBI.
But he might be dead.
Well, he might be dead. But, I mean, so, you know, Eichmann, the Israelis really wanted to find him. It took them 15 years.
He's definitely dead.
He's, I think he was executed.
Totally. Yeah, exactly.
You know, Osama could be, you know, I think we have to prepare ourselves for the fact that we may not find him for, you know, I mean, it's now over 4 years.
Hmm. You know, there was a piece, I think, that dropped day before yesterday on Newsweek's website, Michael Isikoff and Mark Holzenbaugh, a tape from Zawahiri that appears to claim some Al-Qaeda direct responsibility for the London bombings.
Yeah.
Now, not all American people, all the American government people are so sure about the claim, but if it's true, what does it mean?
Well, you know, because it's very interesting. And, you know, the conventional wisdom is sort of Al-Qaeda's out of business and there's a sort of global jihadist movement that's taken over. But if indeed the London attacks are actually Al-Qaeda, they seem to have some life in them. And the guy who actually organized the attack did a suicide will videotape, which he appears to have shot in Pakistan. I think he shot it with sort of Al-Qaeda's production arm in Pakistan.
That's exactly it. Isn't the global jihadist movement another way of calling what is essentially Al-Qaeda franchises? I mean, isn't Al-Qaeda sort of almost like a demonic pyramid scheme where you get the kit?
Hopefully a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
So, you know, they send you the set up the cell kit, and a lot of these people are actually can affiliate themselves with Al-Qaeda by just saying they're part of Al-Qaeda and having contact with one of the lieutenants.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a franchise branding operation, sort of Burger King, McDonald's, whatever you want, of terrorism. And but the main organization still has some life in it as well.
Mm-hmm. Our guest is Peter Bergen, journalist, author, and CNN terrorism analyst. I got in some background material I was reading, you said that Osama bin Laden is an impulsive guy. Is that accurate? And if it is, does that perhaps hold the key to maybe even bringing him down, maybe finding him someday?
Yeah, I think he's acted impulsively, and 9/11 is particularly. I mean, I talked to a lot of his old friends and also jihadi buddies, and they all say that 9/11 may have been a tactical success, but it was a strategic disaster.
How so?
Well, because you've got the United States looking for Al-Qaeda in every country in the world, lost its base in Afghanistan. You know, Al-Qaeda means the base in Arabic. They lost it. They don't have the training camps. Sure, they continue to exist, but it's quite different from having a dozen training camps churning out, you know, hundreds, thousands of graduates.
It seems to me that the United States has helped set up with the biggest terrorist training camps in the world, which is Iraq, isn't it?
Well, that is unfortunately the case. Let's say I don't have a position on the Iraq war, good, bad, or indifferent. I can tell you one thing. There is going to be a very severe blowback from the Iraq war, which we should prep ourselves for right now. I mean, the guys who are in Iraq are fighting not the Soviet army as they fought in Afghanistan, which was one of the world's worst armies.
Right, that's what I learned from you, that all these guys, like bin Laden and the what you call in your book the Afghani Arabs, had really made their bones and cut their teeth fighting on the behest of the United States against the Russians, and now this new generation is actually fighting the best army in the world, which is us in Iraq, learning how to fight.
And also doing things that would be very transferable into terrorism. And in Afghanistan during the 80s, it was a classic guerrilla war. This is IEDs, improvised explosive devices, suicide terrorism, etc. These guys, we're finding people being recruited in Germany, in Spain, in Italy, just in the recent months. 60% of the suicide attackers are Saudi, which means when the blowback happens in Saudi Arabia, it's going to be particularly severe.
We're Saudis. That's surprising.
Yeah. So, you know, if the war ends tomorrow, 10 years from now, we're still going to have this blowback problem, which I think could be pretty intense.
Mm.
Peter Bergen, is there a possibility that, contrary to what the neocons envisioned for the future of the Middle East, that we could have a Middle East with Iraq and Iran as the fulcrum and a group of fundamentalist governments, including a fundamentalist government in Saudi Arabia?
I mean, it's possible. No one really knows. I mean, you know, Zbigniew Brzezinski said a kind of interesting thing about the Afghan war. He said wasn't it worth stirring up a few Muslims to win the Cold War? Maybe he was being a bit facetious, but the point was even with all the outcomes, it was still, you know, winning the Cold War was a very big deal. But in Iraq, we don't know if the neocon idea is going to work or not. I mean, right now, it's not looking so good. But, you know, maybe 10 years from now, yeah, maybe things will get better.
It could be this consolidated Islamic series of states that will unfold much like the Cold War situation unfolded.
It could be. I mean, on the plus side, I mean, yeah. some things have happened. You know, Afghanistan has gone pretty well. The parliamentary elections on the weekend went pretty well. You know, I was in Saudi Arabia when they had a municipal election. Admittedly, it was, you know, sort of window dressing, but once you take the window dressing out, it's very hard to put it back again.
From what I understand, Afghanistan, state-sponsored opium growth is bringing billions of dollars back into that economy, which is good in the free market.
It's not Luxembourg, but I mean, it's...
Well, let's end on that the joke.
Not Luxembourg.
Peter Bergen, journalist, author, CNN terrorist analyst. The book, Holy War Incorporated, Inside the Secret World of Osama Bin Laden, is a very informative book. Looking forward to the new one, the Osama Bin Laden I know. Thank you so much for being with us, Peter.
Appreciate
it was a
Peter.
Pleasure meeting you. We'll be back here at the XM Satellite Radio Studios in Washington, D.C. with Rapture Watch, so stay tuned for that.
MorningSedition.com. Our guests, our comedy, your blog. MorningSedition.com. Air America Radio.
Here we go. It's 51 past the hour. It's Mark Maron here. I'm with my buddy Mark Riley.
Hey!
It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition, broadcasting live from the XM Satellite Radio Studios in Washington, D.C. We've got Congressman John Conyers coming up, and Cindy Sheehan will be here momentarily to tell us what she's been up to and how she's been treated on her tour across country with the Gold Star Families for Peace on the bus. I heard she had a little trouble in New York and maybe a little trouble with the Capitol Police the other day. I'm very excited to see Cindy. We talked to her every day almost when she was down in Crawford, and now we get to meet her in person. But right now, the Bible's book of Revelations portends the end of days and the second coming of the Christian Messiah, one of our president's favorite stories. Though no one knows when the end times will come, there are signs that will appear to men. Here on Morning Sedition, we won't let you be caught off guard by the end of the world. That's why we present this week's Rapture Watch with Cardinal Milfington of the recently disgraced Diocese of Sacramento, California. Your grace.
Heed my words, ye sinful earth-dwelling fornicites, and submit your prideful buttocks to the righteous whip of St. Michael of Stern. Step lightly, ye soiled lilies of the valley, for ye are nothing more than sinners in the hands of an angry God. And your souls become the litter box for 15-year-old cats with kidney problems. It is time to come up hither, thou painted harlots of Habakkuk, sitting cross-legged in your Marin County yurts, burning incense, eating health food, and otherwise enjoying life. Christ does not like that. He didn't get to enjoy life. Why should you? Of course, there were those teenage years nobody likes to talk about when he used his magic powers for mischief. Man, he just went wild with the chicks. You know, in those days, Jesus could not only look into your heart, he could also see through your toga. Well, that's neither cantata nor mon consat cantata. For just as it was written, thou shalt be enslaved by your greed in Exodus 39, so it was also written, thou shalt suffer scaly patches of red skin in Eczema 17. Just an industry joke. Either way, I'm here to tell you the end times are upon us. Now, I bet you think I'm going to speak to thee upon the flooding in Louisiana. That would be too easy. I bet you think I'm going to talk about how scientists are now growing meat in test tubes. That would be too funny. No, today I'm going to tell you about something so demonic, so diabolical, it'll make Rockstar NXS look like a valid contest among talented musicians actually interested in rock. For according to the AP, or Antichrist Press, a medical clinic in Ohio is going to perform the world's first face transplant using faces donated by dead people. Yes, now I know what you're thinking. This is either a way to give deserving people, horribly disfigured by tragedy, a chance at a new life, or it's an opportunity for Satan to build an army of brain-eating robots. I personally am leaning towards the latter. Consider the facts, Mark.
All right.
You misguided Hebrew. In the next few weeks, Satan's minions at the Cleveland Clinic will decide who is eligible for the surgery by secretly interviewing 12 people. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. Look at the numbers, Mark.
Yeah.
12 people.
Yeah.
That's 12.
Okay.
Half of 12 is 6. That gives you 2 sixes. Now add another 6. That gives you 666. It's so simple. But then again, evil is always simple.
Whoa, 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 wait, Father. I mean, I was following you with the dividing 12 by 2, getting 2 sixes, but where'd the third 6 come from?
Geez, what a hard ass. Hey, you got to crap on everybody's parade? Is that how you want to live? Man, you show people are all alike. Look, It all points to the pre-tribulation rapture. Now, you're probably asking, what is the pre-tribulation rapture? Well, the rapture can't happen unless it's foretold by the tribulation.
Uh-huh.
The pre-tribulation signals the beginning of the tribulation, which in turn signals the beginning of the rapture. You follow me? Now, let's say you have a pre-tribulation rapture.
All right.
That would be represented by the rapture over tribulation to the second power. Or the rapture divided by the tribulation times itself.
Right.
To sum up, when I was five, I pushed my twin brother down a well because he was stealing my thoughts. Any questions? Good, let's move on. Now, using my Bible code software, version 8 beta, I am able to predict the precise moment of my next nervous breakdown. Wait for it. Ah, utasa kapatata, fritata hershata. It just happened, Mark.
What?
My breakdown.
Okay.
This was funny when I wrote it last night. For it was prophesied in Revelation Star Trek Deep Space Nine, and I quote it. Ladies and gentlemen, I have here in this envelope irrefutable proof that Mark Maron is a fugitive member of the Symbionese Liberation Army. And while calling himself General Field Marshal Mitumi Sinke, he set fire to a Bank America in Santa Barbara. Oops, sorry. That's my how to get back at my boss when I'm fired speech. Where was I? Oh, yeah, suffice it to say, we are all doomed. Uh-huh. And by we, of course, I mean you. For while your brain is being eaten by a guy with a Ted Williams old face, I'll be up in heaven in God's panic room, sitting at the throne of Jesus in his pet armadillo, Rolo. Until then, keep on fornicating, fornicators, and we'll keep the line up for you. In hell.
Yeah. All right. All right, there you go. Cardinal Milkington. We're broadcasting live from the XM studio here in Washington, D.C. We'll be back with Cindy Sheehan in just a couple of seconds. So stay with us. It's 57 past the hour. Six past the hour. Good morning. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey.
Good morning, Sedition on Air America Radio. We're broadcasting live from the XM Satellite Radio Studios in Washington, D.C. In a little while, we're going to have John Conyers with us, Cindy Sheehan momentarily. We're down here in D.C., Riley. It's been going great.
Yeah, it has.
I would like to, before I introduce our guest, I want to say that on Wednesday, President Bush proclaimed that Sunday would be Gold Star Mother's Day and instructed that the U.S. flag be flown over government buildings, and he urged all Americans to display the flag as well. Bush said, quote, on Gold Star Mother's Day, we recognize and pray for the devoted and patriotic mothers of these men and women in uniform who have made the ultimate sacrifice in defense of our liberty. I'm going to ask our guest to comment on the condescending president's empty words in just a second. It's my pleasure to bring on this woman. When we last spoke to our next guest, she was packing her bags at Camp Casey in Crawford, Texas. She's just arrived in Washington, D.C. in advance of tomorrow's big anti-war rally. We are pleased to have her back with us on Morning's Edition, this time live in person here in Washington, D.C. Good morning, Cindy Sheehan.
Yeah. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here. It's great to finally meet you guys in person. You guys know how much I love you.
Yeah, we love you too. And I was actually worried about you because I read in New York that you got roughed up by the cops a little bit. Did that happen?
I totally did. I'm still sore from it.
Really?
What happened?
The cops didn't actually rough me up. We were all bunched together. And they grabbed someone behind me and pulled them back, and she had my backpack, so she pulled me back, and it went so fast, but I guess looking at the tape, it looks like I got jerked back pretty violently,
right.
And then my friends saw me being jerked back, so they jerked me forward.
And then the Capitol Police?
Oh, wow.
So it was a little tug of war?
Yeah.
We get her! So now, what about the Capitol Police stopped you, too, as well, when you came in?
Right. We were just getting in to go to the Capitol, and they pulled over our three RVs. They detained us for about 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. We were waiting for the bomb-sniffing dogs that never came, and all of a sudden they just said, okay, you can leave. And so we went to our press conference. I would think they were hoping that all the press would disappear, but, you know, they didn't. They were still there when we got there.
So how do you feel about the president's words there that I just quoted him as saying?
I think that the way he can honor us is by stop creating so many Gold Star mothers, you know, and it really... You know, it just breaks my heart, and I just feel so, you know, I don't think it's fair, because there's nobody in Congress, there's nobody in this administration, there's nobody that has to worry about becoming a Gold Star mother because of his policies. And that's what we're going around Congress and telling them, you know, how many more of other people's children are you willing to sacrifice for the lies?
Absolutely. Cindy, she had Karl Rove said in an off-the-record comment, apparently, that no politician in their right mind, certainly nobody in Washington in their right mind, would align themselves with you or the anti-war protesters. How did you feel when you, if you had heard that quote, and what congresspeople have aligned themselves with you?
Okay, he also said that I was a clown and that the anti-war movement didn't exist.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to prove to him tomorrow that we do exist and we're not going away, you know, and... You know, he says I'm a clown, but he's a criminal, and he's like really the ringmaster of the biggest circus that's ever hit the United States of America, and we really want to pack that circus up and send him out of town.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's the evil circus. No one's having a good time at this circus.
It's those ones that you always have nightmares about, right. I think. You know, those really scary clowns and stuff.
Yeah, it's the ones that... this circus is making the kids cry. So now, I heard that someone came and ripped off everything at Camp Casey, took the whole monument?
Yeah,
it was that guy who was our across-the-street neighbor who fired the shotgun shots at us that one morning, too.
The drunk?
Yeah, the guy that was 10 o'clock in the morning and he was already blasted, so I think that might influence his actions.
Well, we heard that George Bush might be getting up early to blast now, too. He was already, he apparently has been hitting the bottle a little bit, but that's from the National Enquirer. Don't quote me.
Who was this Bianca he was looking for yesterday in the press conference? I think that's really interesting.
I'm
going to go to the White House today and say, I'm Bianca.
what happened? He was looking for somebody named Bianca?
Yeah, he kept, every time a female would raise her hand, he'd go, oh, are you Bianca? It's the new Jeff Gannon, I think. Kansas and Bianca.
Well, maybe the old Jeff Gannon. Cindy Sheehan, you've had some time now. There's been some distance between you and the very intense experience that you had at Crawford.
There has?
Well, a little bit of time-wise, anyway.
Well, every day has been so intense. We get up early. We fly to a new city. We're doing two or three rallies a day.
So the intensity has continued.
The intensity has continued. And it seems a little worse because in Crawford, we were all contained in one place, you know, so it was easier to control. But, you know, we've been doing rallies in red states and blue states. Thousands of people have come to see us since Camp Casey, and we've had very, very little opposition. You know, even in towns like Columbia, South Carolina, where hundreds came to a candlelight vigil and two people came to protest us. And, you know, the tide is turning, and you asked me what Congress people are on board. More are coming on board because, like Tom Andrews, Win Without War, and he was a congressperson from Maine, said yesterday, Congress might not see the light, but they'll feel the heat. And we need to keep the heat on them, and we need to turn up the heat on Congress. And then they'll do the right thing.
I'll tell you, Cindy, you know, some polls are putting his approval rating as low as 37%. So there's definitely an effect being had that American people are waking up to the reality. The hypnotic neocon state is starting to lift off some of the frightened people's minds, and they're starting to see the truth thanks to what you're doing in part. That's certainly for sure.
Yeah.
So now, what is the schedule for tomorrow in terms of how many people are you expecting or hoping for, and what time do the festivities and protests start?
I believe the march. We're gathering at 10, and we're expecting well over 100,000 people. It's going to be the biggest event in peace history, I think. And, you know, I'm always very dramatic and very hyperbolic, but I believe that that's the truth. I believe that if you're not here, you're going to be sorry, you know, because it's just going to be the most amazing event ever. And we need to show them, we need to show the media that we mean business. We need to show Congress, we need to show this administration that we mean business and we're not going away and that we exist.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're going to keep the pressure on them.
Yeah, some people, granted they may not be sane people, have speculated that Karl Rove might have actually caused a hurricane just to take the focus off of you.
Is it? You know, it's just so, you know, suspicious. It's very suspicious.
God help you. I hope you don't have that kind of power.
Oh, God.
Right? You know, Cindy, it seems, at least if you look at some of the public opinion polling, that at one point there were people who were opposed to the war but were also opposed to withdrawing the troops. We're now seeing that some of the latest polling is saying people are in favor mm-hmm. of withdrawing the troops, and a substantial number of people are saying they want the troops out now. Mm-hmm. That, I have to figure, is part of your effect on this entire situation.
Well, it's my effect, what happened on August 6th, and we just, like, we're a spark to light this prairie fire that's blazing out of control, and that's what's going to turn up the heat on them. But they're also seeing is, like, in Vietnam in 1967, the president knew the war was unwinnable. We want 8 more years and 48,000 more deaths. You know, we're going to pull out of Iraq anyway. Why don't we do it before that kind of devastation? Millions of Vietnamese were killed, you know, and their country decimated. Why don't we just go ahead and pull out as safely as we can, help the people of Iraq rebuild their country, but let's stop the killing. And the way we're going to make America safer is to get George Bush out of office, and that's what we have to do.
Right,
that's
on.
What we have to work on.
Thank you so much for being with us, Cindy Sheehan.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
This was great.
It was really great meeting you.
If you want information about the march, you can go to unitedforpeace.org to get the full schedule. Tomorrow it starts. It's going to be going from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. The rally's at 11:30, 12:30. The march steps off. It's going to be a massive event. And again, thank you so much, Cindy, for coming
thank
down.
Thank you, guys. I love you.
So stay with us. We're going to have John Conyers in a little while and Planet Voice with Lawton Smalls. It is now 15 past the hour. Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
You're listening to Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
Is it possible for you to shut the f*** up for 10 seconds?
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Twenty past the hour. Good morning, people. Mark Riley.
Hey.
We're broadcasting live from the XM Satellite Radio Studios in Washington, D.C. We've got just a second. I believe Lawton Smalls just walked in, so we're going to have to deal with that. I do want to say that, remember, XM is the exclusive satellite radio provider of Air America. You can hear Air America 24-7 in crystal clear stereo sound on XM channel 167. To subscribe, go to xmradio.com. I also want to say Air America will be hosting a special panel discussion in Manhattan on Tuesday night entitled Katrina's Wake, Our Government and the Common Good. For details, go to airamericaradio.com. Now, people, since our president is openly operating in a different reality, we think it's important that Americans know what's happening in his alternate universe. Luckily, we have a staffer who lives in that world. So here now is Planet Bush Bureau Chief Lawton Smalls. Good morning. Good morning, Lawton. How are you, buddy? How are you, Lawton?
Good morning, Mark.
Lawton, what's the matter? We're here in D.C. I mean, I thought you'd be excited.
He's just down the street.
Who?
Him.
Oh, right. Okay. You mean Bush.
Yes. Yeah. I can feel him. I can feel him.
What's that? What is that, an inhaler? What's going on, man?
See, Mark, I get so nervous just thinking about being close to him. You see, he and I breathe different air.
Okay. dude, just relax, all right? He's just a person.
Just a person? He's my sun and my moon and my stars. What if I run into him? I could go downstairs right now and run into President George W. Bush. I'll start babbling and singing and crying and peeing and making an idiot of myself. You got to help me, Mark. You got to help me.
What do you want from me?
can you pretend to be him?
Oh, man.
You and I can practice a little bit so that when I meet him, I'll be ready. And then he will love me.
Oh, we will be together.
Please, Mark. Come on now.
Do I have to be? I don't want to be. I hate that guy.
Please.
All right, God. It's so high maintenance,
okay,
man.
All right.
Okay, I'll do that.
Here we go.
All right, I'm not going to do the voice, all right?
Go ahead.
Hi there, Lawton.
Hello, sir. This is such an honor. Wait a minute. You have to give me a nickname.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. You see, he gives all his friends nicknames. Rove is like Turd Blossom, okay? So you got to call me Lottie or maybe Smallsy. No, Wienerhead. You can call me Wienerhead. Something like that. Okay. Let's start over. You're the president. Action.
Okay. All right. Hey, Wienerhead.
good, right?
Nice to see you, buddy. How's it hanging?
This is such an honor, sir. I am your biggest fan. Mm-hmm. I think you've spared our country from the liberal, baby-killing, drug-taking, secular, gay agenda that's threatening the moral fiber of this great nation. I truly believe the Lord speaks through you, and I thank him on my knees every night that you're our president. And with your kind permission, I would now like to drink your bathwater.
Well, thanks, Turd Face. First,
good.
Thanks. Now I'm going to do the voice. First, I think you're doing a heck of a job.
Thank you.
Since I'm a lazy, pathological narcissist and an unrecovered alcoholic, your devotion means nothing to me.
Mark, hang on. I don't think you'd say that.
Since I'm about to mismanage my second natural disaster in a month, I've got a lot of spin control to take over, and then a lot of media to blame for my gross incompetence.
That's not nice.
And my quota for talking to real people is just about full for this month. So why don't you drag your pathetic ass back to Planet Bush, or I'll have one of my Secret Service agents throw you in Guantanamo.
No.
Come back when you have some money, loser.
I asked you for help, and you spit in my face. Guantanamo.
Yeah.
You know, I have very poor social skills. I need a lot of help.
Oh, no.
People don't like me right away. Or even after knowing me for, several months. I'll bet you never had a hero, did you, like I have with George? Somebody you'd be nervous to meet? I mean, you never had them.
No, that's not true. I actually, there was someone.
Who?
Richard Pryor.
Did you meet him? Was it great?
Yeah, actually, Lawton, it was. It was a very big thrill for me. Okay, so I'm sorry, man. Are you okay, man? Oh, this is pathetic.
Richard Pryor, you call that a hero? Drug addict, profanity, married to white women. Okay? You liberals will never get anywhere with heroes like
that. All right, that's
Richard
it.
Pryor.
That's it. Goodbye, Lawton.
You think that's seriously? God loves you. Deal with it.
I'll try. That was Lawton Smalls. That's portrayed by the very talented Kent Jones.
Yeah.
So look, let's talk a little bit about the Roberts nomination, because that happened. The Senate Judiciary Committee voted to send Roberts and Roberts' nomination to the full Senate with a vote 13-5.
Yeah.
The opponents were Senator Kennedy, Schumer, Feinstein, Biden, and Durbin. Thank God for them.
Yeah.
Why didn't they all just vote against them? I know it's politics, but what'd they have to lose if they all the Democrats on the thing just said no?
The Democrats are trying to hedge their bets here. They're trying to do two things at once. They're trying to negotiate something with this president about the other nominee, and they're also trying to portray themselves to the American people as not rejecting everyone that he wants.
But Russ Feingold, our friend Russ Feingold.
Russ Feingold, Herb Kohl, and Patrick Leahy all voted for him in committee. Now, that does not necessarily mean that they'll vote with him or for him on the full Senate floor. That has happened too, where people vote one way in committee, another way on the floor. But there are some Democrats. Hillary Clinton has come out and said she's not voting for him. A couple of other people have said they're not voting for him. What you find, though, is that in many instances, Democrats in Republican-leaning states like Nebraska and places like that, that's where you find the Democratic base for the support. But see, there's another battle to come here. The question is going to be, will there be a filibuster on the second nominee? If it's a guy like Michael Luttig or somebody like that, forget about it. You're going to have to draw the line somewhere and say this far and no further.
Yeah, but okay, we're going to talk about this in a minute. You're going to have to explain to me why our buddy Russ Feingold of Wisconsin would vote yes for this guy, because, you know, I thought he was the rebel, man. So, but you say you've got an angle on this, and you're going to tell me what it is in just a second. It's 27 past the hour. You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio,
yeah,
broadcasting live from the XM Satellite Studios in Washington, D.C.
Hey.
Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Thirty-four past the hour. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program, broadcasting live from the satellite radio studios of XM Satellite Radio in Washington, D.C. What a great show it's been. I'll tell you, you know, a lot of you people out here are regular listeners, and I really appreciate you guys coming down. Could you get our board op, who is stuck by himself?
Chris Lopresto.
Chris Lopresto, Kalo the Costco Ho, is all alone up there in New York at Mission Control at Air America. Can we give him a round of applause?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm only doing that because I can hear him in my head, and he was crying, Riley. Little Chris Lopresto was crying, and I'm sorry that your parents treated you like that, Chris. So,
you're not going to go there.
No, I know I'm not. Lynn came down from Queens. She didn't bring any tomatoes or produce, but it's nice to see you. I've gotten addicted to the cucumbers and tomatoes. I appreciate you. Oh, next week, very good.
Very good.
I can wait for that. So let's update some news here. Let's do that. And I want to, before we get into Rita, though, quickly tell me what you were telling me earlier this morning, because I immediately took offense to the fact that Senator Russ Feingold voted to nominate John Roberts, and you said that there's a strategy here, and I want to know what it is.
Okay, it's a strategy that is also a gamble at the same time. And the key to it is in something that Senator Chuck Schumer of New York said. What he is trying to project is the idea that the Democrats are not of one mind to reject any Bush nominee, while the Republicans are all in lockstep on Bush's nominee. In other words, there are going to be no Republicans in the Senate, whether it be in the Judiciary Committee or on the floor. They're going to vote against their president's choice. And what Schumer is saying is, we're not going to fight on Roberts. We don't like him, but, you know, people are going to vote their conscience on Roberts. But if somebody else comes along, if it's a Michael Luttig or one of the other nominees that is a doctrinaire ideologue, then that is where the line is going to be drawn. Now, we'll see if this strategy is going to work. I don't know what kind of nominee Bush is going to put up to take Sandra Day O'Connor's place. There's been all kinds of speculation, everybody from Alberto Gonzalez to Priscilla Owens or Janice Rogers Brown, both of whom, in my judgment, would be totally unacceptable. The question is there a United States senator that is prepared to stand up and talk until this nomination dies? I'm not talking about Roberts. Roberts is a done deal. But whoever comes up behind, if that person is not acceptable, is someone ready to stand up?
And you're saying that there's an outside chance that Russ Feingold might be the guy to filibuster.
Russ Feingold might? Who knows? Barack Obama might. You never know. There's a possibility that one or more, because, you know, filibusters, you can actually rotate, I believe. So, I got to double check my Senate protocol, but I think you can actually have more than one senator participate in a filibuster.
So it's sort of like a relay? You hand the baton to the next guy?
Well, yeah, because, you know, this is nonstop marathon talking, something we're intimately familiar with.
No
here
kidding.
At Morning Sedition.
That's for sure. So, well, that's encouraging to me that might happen, because I, in my head, and I'm no political wizard, that's for sure, it seems to me that this is a great time to do something like this, because they are so vulnerable. The Republicans' approval ratings, and certainly Bush's approval ratings, are at a point now where I think the Democrats can actually make these guys look like the asses they are.
Well, see, part of it, and I understand there are a lot of people who say that the Democrats in the Senate should have stood up and said a collective no to John Roberts, because he could be a stealth candidate, somebody that won't answer direct questions about some of the pressing issues that the court may face, then gets on the court and begins to do precisely what the religious right wants done. That's a possibility here. But I'm telling you, there are other people that Bush is considering where that would be a certainty. And that's what you got to really worry about. You've got to worry about an actual ideologue who would serve 30, 40 years on this court. There's no guarantee, for example, as much as conservatives are upset with Alberto Gonzalez, there's no guarantee if he were named to the court that he wouldn't become every bit in the Scalia-Thomas mode as anybody else he'd nominate.
Well, we're going to have to see. I just hope that they all come together with an amazing amount of spine and momentum to filibuster whatever the next choice is, just because I'm jonesing for some action.
Well, see, I'll tell you when the jonesing for the action is next year, because we're in this. No, let me tell you what this is. We're in this spot specifically because we do not control, as Democrats, we don't control the Senate. If we did, which we once did, then this would have been an entirely different ballgame.
You mean if this was a completely different world, Riley, it'd be different?
No, it wasn't that different. It wasn't that long ago. What we have now is a situation where the Republicans control everything. They control the House, they control the Senate, and they control the presidency of the United States, and they don't much care for the judiciary. That's why they're trying to do this.
You know, I just had that moment that I have sometimes with you, Riley, where I realize that I'm a smart ass. You know what I mean? I just the adult in me and said, listen to that smart ass. All right, here we go. But let's move into to Rita, because this has some implications in the sense that, you know, it's completely clear to me that this country is a good country, obviously, but this government is completely incapable of governing, and that the evacuation process, not only in Louisiana, which is obvious, was a disaster.
That was ridiculous.
That the one in Houston and in Texas and in Galveston has been a disaster, to the point where they said one thing and they actually said, you know what, go on home, not because it was safe, just because they realized it was chaos. There's gas running out of gas stations, and now the price gouging is going to get worse, because there actually may be refineries shutting down, but this price gouging thing in the oil industry is something that there's a portal to another neocon death cult agenda here, because we were talking about Fran Townsend. That's her name, Fran,
yeah,
right?
Fran Townsend.
Who is now in charge of looking into the disaster.
Yeah, she's looking into the aftermath of Katrina. Her official title is, well, she is Bush's personal homeland security.
So that's taking somebody, that's taking somebody off a real job that we need her to fill, to put her in this other job just because she's a loyalist. But this is one of those situations, not unlike the Michael Brown situation, but even worse. The Democratic governors have apparently pushed the administration into it, at least acknowledging that there is an issue with price gouging in the oil industry.
Yep.
No kidding. All right. So the Federal Trade Commission announced a formal probe. Though any probe may be a good probe when it comes to this administration, I believe a forced probing at the hands of the other party would be best.
That would work.
But I don't think that's going to happen. In the case of a probe into the Bush funding oil industry, it will probably only go so deep. And now this is the kicker, is that last year Bush appointed a former Chevron Texaco lawyer, Deborah Myers, to head the FCC. The whole thing is fixed, Riley. Why can't people? What are people, morons? I mean, how can even 37% of the people of this country like this guy at all? I mean, this information is not, I'm not making this up. This is not an Orwell book. People in this country who still like this president have got to be retarded. And I'm using that in the old way. Like retards. Not like retarded people, mentally challenged people. I mean, old school retards. That's what a lot of...
Yeah, I know. Well, Mark, what you're looking at in terms of Bush filling these different jobs.
FTC. I said FCC. I'm sorry.
Yeah, FTC. Federal Trade Commission. These are agencies that Bush is trying to, just like, you know, we're seeing someone appointed to the Supreme Court that could serve for 30 or 40 years. Bush and Rove and his people have been planting folks in various federal agencies over the long term, over the arc of his presidency, that he also hopes will be there for 20 or 30 years, and they will shape these different policies. Remember that, for example, the Food and Drug Administration. Why do you think it is that the morning after pill is not available to Americans? Because Bush stocked that agency with people who put a plug on that approval.
Crazy Christian people.
Yeah, crazy Christian
people. Religious fanatics.
As opposed to sane Christian people, because there are some of them. Yeah. I hope I count myself among them.
But
thank you very much. But, I mean, we're looking here at a frontal wholesale assault. And in many instances, I shouldn't even say frontal, because what happens in a lot of cases is that these appointments are made and people move up through the ranks, and it's out of sight and it's out of mind.
right. So you're saying not frontal, but up through the back end?
Yeah, that one.
Up through the back end into this administration?
Behind the back.
I hear you, man. I hear you. Yeah. I'm starting to feel that way with this administration.
Well, see, that's what... And remember, too, that there are people coming out of these evangelical colleges and universities scattered across the country that are going directly into these agencies where they will shape policies and they will dictate how you and I live our lives for the rest of our lives.
Neocon death cult trainees.
Yeah.
The Christo-fascist zombie brigade robots are upon us.
Yeah.
The
unless
marching...
we do something about it.
I am doing something. I'm talking to you every morning about it.
I'm talking to the ether.
Oh, yes.
To the hundreds of thousands of listeners.
That's right. You people, go try and talk your fanatic religious friends out of their God.
No, you don't have to do that. Go to the polls and get rid of the people that allow this to happen.
Oh, yeah, you can do it that way, too. You can vote.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this country. All right, we're going to be right back. I'm going to try and deal with this following Dennis Kucinich thing. We've got a couple of weird stories, so stay with us. It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition, broadcasting live from the XM Satellite Radio Studios in Washington, D.C. It is now 44 past the hour.
Morning Sedition, Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
Don't just stare at it. Eat it.
On Air America Radio.
The hour. Good morning. You're listening to Air America Radio from Washington, D.C. We're about to land the Starship XM Satellite Radio Enterprise here. What a huge place. I just want to reach out here and thank everyone at XM who made this happen. Michael and Alex and Jamie and Kevin and Ann and Megan and Ed and Joe and Jim. And I'd like to thank our crew. Up at Air America, Jamie Horn. We got Kent Jones right here.
Yeah.
Jim Earle. We had Chris from the Laura Flanders Show helping us out. Chip up there in New York.
Hey, put my picture down, Earl.
Kalo on the board. Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman. Brendan P.W. McDonald. I think that's about everybody. Thank you, Mark Riley.
Thank you, Mark Maron.
Oh, this is great. It's like the old days.
Can you feel the love?
I can feel the love. I can definitely feel the love. You know, it's interesting because, you know, when Karl Rove said that Cindy Sheehan was a clown, she is definitely the opposite of clown when it comes to the anti-war movement. But as you remember, in the 60s, like I remember, there was a clown tradition, a prankster tradition that was very important in American protest in the 60s. People like Abbie Hoffman,
Jerry Rubin.
These cats, I mean, the prank and even Ken Kesey and the Merry Pranksters and all that stuff, there has to be a little bit of fun and humor to elevate social consciousness. That's why I have a job.
There you go.
You know, thank God for that. And tomorrow I'm going to be sharing that fun and humor, I hope. I hope it's going to be okay, Mark. I think it'll be all right.
What do you think we had Kevin Danaher in here for?
I know he... I will be performing at... They keep saying speaking. People come up to me and go, you're speaking tomorrow. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm not speaking. I'm going to be doing the funny. So I'm going to be at the Green Fest at Washington, D.C. Convention Center tomorrow at noon. I'll be following Dennis Kucinich. No, I think it should be all right, because I'll tell you, I was in Australia once. I don't know if I ever told you that story. I got sent home from Australia. I sent home from a country.
Were you in high school?
No, this was in the beginning of my comedy career.
Uh-oh.
They hired me to headline this show. I only had like 20 minutes, and they flew me for a five-week engagement in Melbourne, and I was supposed to do an hour, and I had like 20, but I didn't have no money. So I'm like, yeah, what have I got to lose? I'll improv.
You know?
So I go out there, but here's the bottom line. I know I can follow anybody because I was panicking. I was sweating bullets backstage in Melbourne. And every night, here's what they had a host who was a comic. Okay. The first act were these two women who wear silly wigs and played accordion. All right. The next act was a guy on stilts who escapes from a straitjacket. All right. All right, then they take a break and bring me on. So needless to say...
We'll be right back with Mark Maron.
Exactly. So I think I can follow Kucinich. That's all I'm saying. I think I'm not going to panic about that. Hey, we got a couple of goofy stories that we didn't really talk about throughout the show here that I'd like to talk about if we could. Obviously, this one not so goofy. This one's serious and exciting in a weird way. I hate to wish harm on people or that people are uncomfortable, but I'll tell you, I heard that George Bush was drinking, and I'm okay with it.
Oh, Lord.
I hope he doesn't do anything drastic other than hurt himself or show up drunk in public. That would be nice.
They don't have the nuclear button anywhere near this guy.
No, I think that Rove has on his keychain. I think that's it. But
sounds like a car alarm.
Yeah. And Rove's kid's like, "Can I start the car?" And that's how the world ended. Wrong button. That's not the key lock. That was the end of the world button. See, it's the one with the little bomb on it, not the little lock. Where are we going? What a horrendous image I just created. But I know that he's already drugged up in public. I mean, I can see that jaw working, and I've covered that before. You know, when you watch George Bush, he's got that thing, and that's only one thing. That's a blow jaw. You know what I mean? That's cocaine or some sort of weird concocted high-tech pharmaceutical pill that they've designed for him. It's called the presidential pill. It's a special one that makes people believe him.
Allegedly.
But that's starting to wear off. Can I speculate?
Go ahead.
So let's talk about this soccer thing, because I think this is a question for you, Riley.
Yeah.
I think the pilots of a jet chartered by the president of Gambia, carrying 289 Gambian soccer fans, faked the need for an emergency landing in Peru so passengers could watch their nation's team play a key match.
Yeah, that's called African ingenuity. That's what that is. Look, it was extreme, but understandable. I'm a soccer fan, all right? You have to understand that sports has played a role in every country's national identity. That's why they call baseball the national pastime in this country. Long time ago, baseball was a way for immigrant people who came to America to become and feel like Americans. Well, that's true all over the world. And certainly when it comes to the Gambian under 17 soccer team, it is a way to bring Gambia's in a bad way in most other situations. Mm-hmm. This is a way to try and foster some form of national unity. So, you know, yeah, you don't want to fake an emergency for, you know, when there is not one, because that's crying wolf. But I understand, and they were able to see the game, and they're all good.
But I see, I understand your reasoning. You're saying it kind of was an emergency.
Yeah, they had to watch the game.
Exactly. It just wasn't the kind of emergency that they were reporting.
You know, see, so many people in America badmouth soccer, the game, the world sport, that now you see the lengths to which some people will go to watch this.
Dig this, man. A 10-year-old Iraqi boy, all right, who lives in Baghdad, is being tormented for something the poor kid has no control over. Apparently, he looks enough like George Bush to some that they no longer call him by his real name, which is Osama, all right? But they call him Bush or Little Bush. Now, the sad thing about this is his parents do, too. All right? It just stuck on the kid, right? So apparently he works in his father's shop where he lashes out at customers because they come in and like, "Oh, look at little Bush." He's like, shut up. His father's trying to convince him that Bush will be forgotten in a few years. And then, quote, this is a quote from the father, which I thought was kind of weird and poetic. Quote, "Then he will live with your real name and appearance," end quote. But that's sort of like the father saying, "You will be president, and this sad, forgotten man, George W. Bush, will have to live with you in your presence."
And Mark, we have a picture of this boy on the Morning Sedition website. Go to morningsedition.com and click on the links page.
Oh, yeah. Good.
What is he? What are they going to call him? Bush 50? You know, because we had Bush 41, Bush 43, and now him.
But it's so sad that that our president's actually become this horrendous slang that people in Iraq call other people.
Yeah,
it's a little Bush. Poor kid.
Hopefully, his looks will change as he grows.
Yeah. Okay, so here we go. There's the fax machine from the Streisand compound with your liberal agenda for today. Here are your marching orders, liberal soldiers. Write these down. 1. Send any congressional Democrats thinking of voting for Roberts a nasty IM full of ironic emoticons. 2. Publicly apologize if you ever secretly ask God to punish the South in some way. 3. Make sure the Franklin D. Roosevelt Memorial doesn't feel self-conscious about its disability. Turn the chair in the Lincoln Memorial into a wheelchair. 4. Take the White House tour and scatter tiny bottles of Jim Beam around the Oval Office. And here's your phrase. Today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. Now that Hurricane Rita might hit the oil refineries, I guess it's a good thing we rely so much on petroleum energy instead of, windmills. Wake up, sheeple. These oil company guys aren't realists. They're surrealists. We need an energy policy written by scientists, not guys who just bought $40 million in oil commodities on the margin.
All right.
So, you know, throughout the show we said that John Conyers was coming. We're sorry that John Conyers wasn't able to be with us. He was under the weather, but we want to thank all of you for coming. Our guests, Kevin Danaher from Greenfest, Congressman Benny Thompson, of course, Peter Bergen, Cindy Sheehan was tremendous.
She was fantastic.
So, Riley, you got plans for the weekend here in the capital, the nation's capital?
Oh, I'm going to try and go meet with George W. Bush.
No, but... I'm Mark Riley.
Yeah, come on out here, pal. Yeah, Rolf, come on.
I should do something other than just panic for 2 days. I'm going to go...
Have some fun, man. Have some fun. And look forward to next week. We got David Poland, our movie guy, calling in, former New York City mayoral candidate Mark Green, and the President of the United States, not Bush.
The band.
Have fun, folks. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for coming. Thank you, our studio.